the rapture. Mainstream Christianity teaches it. Everyone is waiting for it, but it could be one of the biggest lies in Christianity today. For many years, over a decade, in fact, I have shared the truth of what the rapture really is. But today, there will be no doubt left in your mind. For today, we find out what it all means. Because in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. For this corruption must put on incorruption. But you got to find out what that means.
Our faith is the substance of things hoped for, and that's not tangible. Our faith should be in eternal things, which are unseen. The temporal world has perished. The outward man perishes, okay? The physical body decays. The corruptible is, in Scripture, that puts on incorruption, is not, you don't become a superhuman where you're walking around and you can, you know, phase in and out of doors and there's no subatomic change in your molecular structure all of a sudden, as some are saying. No, the corruption is the sin that's in our heart. It's the ignorance. Psalm said that sin is the thought of foolishness. That's all sin is. It's the foolish thought. It's not knowing the truth. So when the corruptible man, the man that doesn't understand the truth, the man that's corrupted by the lies of the world, puts on incorruption, then the saying will be true. Then Christ will be known in the world. Then the manifestation of the sons of God will be heralded on high.
It's about being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives forever.
You know, there are only two men in the world, despite what many people say, and this is where we get this rapture teaching. There's the first man, which is the Adam, the first Adam, and then there's the last man, which is Christ, the first man, last man. The first man is ignorant, because he's looking for God outside of himself, because he was driven from the garden, which is inside, which is the kingdom, which is paradise. Jesus said, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. They say, well, where is that? They say, oh, it's heaven. Well, where is heaven? Well, the kingdom of heaven is within. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. Where's the temple of God? Point to your temples. What's between your temples? Your mind. Where was Christ killed? Golgotha. And what does Golgotha mean? Where's the truth put to death? Where? At Golgotha, the place of the skull. And what's underneath our skull? The mind. The truth is put to death in our thinking.
And this is why we must not be conformed to this world and just believe what they say, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God.
Physical death is not the enemy of God. The carnal man, the carnal mind is the enemy of God. The flesh is at enmity with the spirit. That's the truth. That's the truth.
In that day, two will be on the roof. One will be taken, one will be left. Two will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Separating completely from the solid state to the gaseous state, from the fleshly state to the spirit. It's a day of awakening. It's the day when Jesus came to Lazarus, his friend that he loved. Us. We're in the tomb. We're stinking. We're dead for a long time. Rolls away the stone. Come forth. It's calling you out. Come on out. Come on out. And then he's asking the helpers, take off the grave clothes. Now, what's interesting about this is when Jesus showed up to meet Lazarus, everybody was like, you know, he's dead already. He's been dead for like 3 days or whatever. And he says, Lazarus, he's sleeping. He's going to live again. Martha was like, oh, no, I don't. He's like, what do you don't think? You don't believe this, Martha? She's like, no, I know he's going to live again on the last day in the future. The last day. Everybody's waiting for something in the future. Everybody's waiting for, like, down the road. Here's the thing. If everybody's waiting for something to happen in the future, and they're putting their sights in the future, in a time that doesn't exist, and not in hearing the voice of Christ right now. And what is Christ in Scripture? The power and wisdom of God. The power and wisdom of God. Christ, the power, the wisdom of God. God, who is love, peace, righteousness, peace, and joy. Power in the Holy Spirit, which is truth. In the last day, he's going to live. People don't realize they're walking around dead already. They're dead already. In Adam, everyone died. So we came into this world dead. The scriptures say that means we're carnally minded. We're ignorant. To be carnally minded is death. We just don't know the truth. Christ hasn't risen yet in our heart. The day star hasn't risen yet, as Paul was praying for. I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. And how is it formed? Faith comes by hearing the word. This is why I'm here. I share my faith. Hopefully you hear it. It takes root. And then that seed that was planted in you, because Christ is the word that is the light of all men coming into the world. No one's left out. There's no separation. There's nothing that can separate us from God, the scriptures say. People believe that there is, but there can't. The day we're in, and this is what I thought all of this stuff with the eclipse and everything else was about, was a separation of lies into truth. And it seems like that's what we're going to start with today. Because you know what was trending yesterday? Was the rapture. Take a wild guess how many posts. I mean, I'm sure you can see it. 66,600 posts on the raptures, trending at 15. That picture to the right, by the way, that's from the real Kim Shady on X. You should check her out, too. She's really cool. I think maybe an AI made this or something, but she had like this funny caption about this is what people were expecting to happen. And people were. And people actually said it was going to happen. A lot of them. I'm not going to go looking for people that were going to say, you know, that said that when this was going to happen. You know what I said? I said, don't worry. Didn't I say don't worry? I said, nothing's going to happen. You know, I mean, something's happening, but nothing's going to happen like in the, it's not like things are over. No. If anything, things are really just now getting started. This is the fun time. Now, this rapture teaching, if you don't know anything about it, it's really an evangelical teaching. You don't find it in Judaism or Islam, or you don't find it really in Orthodox Christianity. It was like a Puritan teaching that came in. The Catholic Church got involved back in the day. They all thought that the Pope was the Antichrist. And like, so you had these, you know, different, like, I don't know, like Jesuit priests or monks or whatever you want to call them. And they got together and they came up with this concept called futurism. You know, you put it into the future. Jesus would say, don't do that. But, you know, religion and man, we got to have everybody thinking that, you know, that the only Christ on earth right now is the Pope, because he sits there as the vicar. You know, so they got to put everything into the future. You got to put that carrot and dangle it in front of you. But John Darby is basically the guy who's really kind of credited for this. I'm just giving you a little history on this. The idea is it's in connection with this premillennialism. It's expressed in the 17th century American Puritans increase. And the idea is that, you know, there's like this secret rapture that comes on and everybody's poofed away, like the show on HBO called The Leftovers, which I'm rewatching, ironically. I was so bored, just like nothing to watch. So I'm like literally rewatching stuff that I've seen already. It's a great series. If you see it, all of a sudden what happens one day, like just a bunch of people just vanish. And they all think that it's like the rapture and that people have been left behind. But this is a big deal, this rapture thing. Now, there are a lot of, we'll say, passages that people use, kind of go-to passages to prove this. And I know that probably a lot of you right here do believe that. And I'm not telling you you're a dummy, because I used to believe it. I believed it too, until I continued to study and I asked for the truth no matter what the cost. And then I started to realize this is a lot cooler than being poofed away, you know, because it's like, what's the point of living your whole life and then just one day, you know, you're poofed away, as opposed to really coming into the truth of who you are in Christ and being a difference maker in this world. So one of the actual, One of the actual verses is from 1 Thessalonians. I always have a problem saying that. Thessalonians chapter 4. It's being caught up. All right. Now, my son, Ethan, you know, we all were sick. He was off for school a couple of days, but you know, so we had to do the work and everything. He had to catch up. There were people that learned stuff before he learned. So those people were ahead of him. He had to catch up with them so that they could be together in a gathering of people that understood something. You got to get caught up. I'm putting this out there because that's really what this is, what it means. Now, ironically, in this very passage that everybody uses in 1 Thessalonians 4, I'm just going to read it to you. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming, that word coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who fall asleep. Certainly not precede those who fall asleep. We who are alive, who are serving God, will not precede, go before those that are asleep. Kind of puts a whole hamper in this passage being about people being poofed away for doing the right thing, for saying the magic words and going to church and tithing or whatever. You know, it's very strange because it doesn't look to me like a lot of people really study. People kept hitting me on X. They were trying to, you know, challenge me on things. And I'm like, maybe I should address it on the show. I actually put a little post out there for big time YouTubers and teachers that teach this, that believe this. Because I think that this is a big problem. I think the idea that like, oh, you know, just got to grin and bear it. One day you're going to be poofed away. You're not poofed away. But you need to be born again. That's the thing. The old man has to die. There needs to be a complete separation. And that's what this rapture teaching is really supposed to be about.
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one.
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one.
They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth.
It's a spiritual change that takes place. I remember this guy, but then he's gone. He's not even the same guy. What happened to him? According to the Lord's word. I'm telling you, those of us that are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will come down from heaven with a loud command. Now, where is heaven? Jesus tells us where heaven is. How do you think people's hearts are changed? Do you think someone's heart is going to be changed when you see something terrifying outside of you? Or when you understand something intimately within you? Well, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. You can't say, look here or look there, for behold, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Within you. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven. It's going to come from a higher place of understanding with a shout. It's going to wake you up. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. The dead to be carnally minded. Okay? So we will not precede them. The Lord will come down with a shout, with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise. They'll rise first. After that, here's the deal. We who are still alive, you see, there's a group of people. They were at school that week while the other ones who were sleeping were sick. Don't think that we're going to get that A and we're going to graduate before them. That's what it's saying. That's what the scripture is saying. It's saying that we who are alive, right? I mean, Paul even said this. He goes, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep. That's this passage. It's the same thing. Blindness in part has happened to Israel so that the Gentiles could be grafted in. And so all Israel shall be saved. This is the way God works. It's in the scriptures. Just because we're alive and we understand the truth of the rapture doesn't mean those people that are waiting to be poofed away, that are like cursing me out on X, that they're somehow going to be left out because they don't know any better. They just need to be caught up. You see what I mean? We all need to be caught up. We all need to come to the same page. All right, so we're going to get there. So after that, we who are alive and are left will be caught up together with them. Who? Those that were asleep, that are now awake. We're going to be now caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, that word cloud, if you look to the right of the screen, there's two different definitions from two different sources. A large, dense multitude. A large, dense multitude. A cloud. A dense crowd. A multitude. A great company. What makes more sense to you? Okay? That just because right now you have the truth, that the people that don't have the truth, one day God himself, just as we were woke up, just as it clicked in us, and there was a rapture in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I understood what hell was. I understood the love of God. I understood that God, it could take a long time for God to bring somebody to the knowledge of the truth and the stature of the perfect man, but that's what the scripture says will happen. It says that all of creation will shout joy and victory. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, but that's not the end of it, to the glory of God. That word glory, the glory of God is to conceal a thing. To the understanding of God's truth, which is within you, because it came down from heaven and was revealed to you, so you become alive. Then we gather together and we're all with the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. The Garden of Eden in the book of Joel is before them. The book of Joel doesn't talk about people being poofed away. It talks about a mighty army coming down. It talks about some devastation coming our way. But that's not the only one. Let's take a look at some other passages in Scripture. Okay? Now, Jesus prayed not to take people out of the world, but to protect them from the evil one. He doesn't want people to leave. The only people that he wanted to leave so that he could go prepare a place for us at the Father's house, which we are. That where God is, we will be. Where we are, God will be. I told you about Martha earlier. Now here's the parable of the wheat and tares. I had to point this out to people. In the parable of the wheat and tares, where he's comparing people that are wicked to people that are good, we'll say. You know, that there were like the wheat was growing, and when the person was sleeping, remember they're asleep, they don't know any better, they're asleep, but they're going to wake up. When they're sleeping, the enemy plants these tares, lies, false beliefs, prejudices, hates, all of this stuff, terrible stuff. Planted in the field with the wheat, the good stuff, love, being kind, being compassionate, having faith, not worrying too much. God tells the messengers, the angels, you got to wait till they grow up together. You got to wait so that you can differentiate between the two. And then first gather the tares, bind them up and burn them away. First. What do you mean, Jacob? What do you mean first? I thought first the good people were going to be poofed away. No, first the tares are going to be gathered and burned, and then the wheat is going to be gathered and brought to God's barn, brought to the storehouse. Once it gets a picture of what's going on within us, this is the day we're in. Another passage that people use all the time is this one from Matthew 24. And it reads, two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. Now, if you look to the bottom of that, you'll see the definition of those words taken and left. Because the way it's taught, without people that actually go to what the word means, it's like there's two people literally walking together, and one of them is woof, and one of them's left. Oh, poor me. It's a silly, silly way of teaching this because it has nothing to do with two different people. It has to do with two ideas of people. There's the firstborn Adam and there's the last Adam. There's two men. There's two women. You get it? There's the ego and then there's the spirit of God. There's two that are in one bed sleeping together. Not in a nasty way. It's in scripture. One is taken and one is left. Now, what is taken? The word taken literally means to receive something. To join to yourself. It doesn't mean to be taken away. It means to be taken over by something. To receive something transmitted. And if you look below that, you'll see like instruction from a teacher. It's the washing of the word of God. Two. One is taken, one is washed over with truth. They receive something that's transmitted as instruction. And then the other, that would be the sinful nature, is left to send away, to depart, to get rid of. As in getting rid of false teachers, as in getting rid of false lies, as in getting... Two. One is taken, one is cast away. That's what we're talking about here, people. It's not about literal, but I feel like people need just some encouragement today. You know, actually, I remember I told you I was doing these songs like for my poetry. We're doing like AI. I have one that I just shared. And I shared it first on Patreon, which, by the way, if you want, there's a link in Patreon. You can go there. I share stuff there that I, you know, I'll send stuff there first. And it's just a way you could support the channel. There's a lot of ways you could do it. Of course, you can get yourself a copy of The Calling on Amazon. You can get yourself any of the merch in the description of the video. See if I can pull this up and you can just kind of, here we go. Now, this is a lullaby. I know it kind of sounds a little cheesy and everything else, but you know what? This is really what you all should be worried about, okay? Nothing.
The moon doesn't question whether or not the sun will rise. The grass doesn't worry when rain doesn't fall from the sky. The flowers don't cower when the winter is near. The birds know there's enough food, so hunger they never fear. All around us are examples that everything works out for the good, that much is clear. So isn't it time we live with the same faith that the moon, the grass, the flowers, and the birds hold dear? I promise once you put aside your needless questions, your worry and fear, you'll watch unspeakable hope, joy and peace appear, and peace appear.
I really, you know, I love that poem that I wrote a long time ago. It was like a little lullaby. You know, I mean, they're all around us. There are examples of why we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't fear. We all know that we got a one-way ticket to the grave, right? Supposedly. But yet we're more than this physical body. We got to stop worrying so much. We got to stop being so scared. We got to walk in power and victory, my friends. I love all of you. I hope that this show was a little bit encouraging. I challenge you to, you know, if you disagree with anything, leave me a comment. Let me know why. Don't just say because you feel that way. You know, give an explanation. And once again, I don't have all the answers. You know, if anything, I just want to encourage you to live a better life and to be kind, to do the right thing, be better to your family, You know, be a better neighbor. Be a better citizen, wherever you're living, whatever you're doing. Be a light in this world. And don't worry so much about the people that are asleep. Because we're not going to precede them. We're in this together. Got to wait for them to get caught up. All right. I love each and every one of you. Go to the description of the video. Make sure you hit like. Make sure you share the video around if you enjoyed this. Make sure you're subscribed still and check the bell for notifications, because people have a tendency of being booted off. But I'm feeling good about the future. I'm feeling good about all of you. I love you all, and I'll talk to you soon.